WildTalkRadio.com.
Soaking up the moon, can't sleep. It's 5 a.m. my time again. I'm calling and you know it's me. I'm pushing myself further. I'm just trying to feel my heartbeat beat. I wrap my hands around your neck. You love it when I always squeeze. It's 5 a.m., I'm high again, and you can see that I'm in pain. I've fallen into emptiness, I want you cause we're both insane. I'm staring into the abyss, I'm looking at myself again. I'm dozing off to R.E.M., I'm trying
to... it's just... That was WrestleMania, a night filled with people who, well, were staying on top, to underdogs that are becoming a little generico. Couple dudes in lucha mask who I kind of look like. Let's try that again, because they didn't hear that one. Anyway, we'll do it this way. That was a night filled with people staying on top, to underdogs becoming a little generico. And two dudes in masks who look a little look like football players. And the final boss being, well, a final boss. This was night one of Wrestle Freakin' Mania. I'm the producer on a special edition of CB Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Joined, as always, by the intern, Kane Kittens.
All right, so first we're going to start with This Week in Wrestling History. Then we're going to go into celebrity birthdays. And then we'll do our movie of the week. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly. Wait.
I didn't prep anything. I've been working all day.
No corner. That's fine.
I was on campus for 13 hours today.
We'll make it work. We will make it work.
I'm ready for wrestling.
We'll make it work. We will for sure make it work. Anyway, joining us on this special edition of CB Radio, and it's not so live, but it is live, one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I made it.
Made it! Woo! It's here!
I mean, I had to do some shenanigans and maybe watch some things faster than normal pace, but I made it!
Hey,
go to WWE's YouTube and watch the highlights that they've posted for the matches.
I may or may not have that going on right now.
Either way, anyway, we're here to talk about night one of WrestleMania. Ooh, they went out and did a show that was freaking awesome.
This is Mania. This is a new version of Mania, too.
Yeah.
This is the Triple H version of Mania, and I can tell you, I am absolutely freaking here for it, if tonight is any indication.
They've been pushing it the last couple of days that this is the start of the... What they're going to find this as, this is the Triple H era, which makes me laugh, because I watched in 2000 when they called it the McMahon-Helmsley era, so it was already a Triple H era at one point. But no, they've been trying to push that, and he came out and said this was a whole new era to start off the show. And you look at just how they presented the show from top to bottom. They gave everything moments that it needed. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
They made it feel grand. And I mean, Mania always kind of feels grand, but it's like things had purpose, and you know, matches felt like, well, most matches really felt like, you know, it's like, yep, this is the biggest stage, this is the biggest effort, this is all of this.
Yeah, and that's what you want out of a show like this. It was grandeur, it was spectacle, and they had a variety to it. You got a little bit of everything tonight, and that's what I take away most. And you told the stories that needed to be told most. You had the underdog story with Sami Zayn, on this show.
Oh, God, did you tell a story tonight with that?
You really did. And we'll start there for a moment. When they pull out the kid.
Yeah.
When they pull out the wife and kid backstage, it's just like, oh.
And you could tell.
And then they hit every other point, too.
But you could
tell the kid didn't know that it was, like, being taped for Mania. And Sammy is just, like, rolling with the kid, like, not hitting quite the beats that, like, they were hoping he would. And he's like, no, you can watch it on TV later. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, you could tell they told the kid, hey, we're going to do something. And they probably fed him, like, hey, say this. And he just was like, nope, not going to do it.
Little kid's just like, I do my own thing. And it's like, well, I'm going to roll with this. Here we go.
I want to hear your song. He's like, okay, you can hear it on the TV. It's fine. Just don't want to watch. Basically, him getting his ass beat during the match with Gunther. And then there's the Chad Gable thing. It's like, oh, hi, Gable. Like, Sammy wants him to come with. And Gable's like, no, this one's on you. But you did all this, and now you're not coming. And no, it's always been in you. He pointed right to his heart. And then he's like, I owe you you owe me a favor, though.
Yeah. But remember, you owe me a favor. And it's like, oh, okay.
I thought it was just a nice way
of being like, you owe me a match later, blah, blah, blah.
No, that's exactly what I mean. I think if I was going to do it, I would do it tonight.
I think you let Sammy have the moment tonight.
No, but if you wanted to turn Gable,
right,
that would have been perfect. No, I expect it. It's coming on Monday on Raw after Mania. I expect them to just have a banger on that night.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
do you turn the rest of Alpha or just him?
I think you just turn him if you do it, because the way they've been doing it, they've kind of split Tozawa and Otis off on
Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Maxine's doing her own thing with Ivy as well. So
yeah, they've everything's kind of split for the moment. But you can always turn Otis heel. You'd have him turn on Tozawa, and then you put on a run. And then there was that KO moment, though, right before he gets to the curtain, which the shot, the walk-up shot with them, perfect.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was like, the whole time, I'm like, oh, when's KO coming?
Is it wrong, though, that, like, in this moment, I go, like, when KO shows up, I just have flashbacks to NXT, and I'm just like, no, don't let this happen again. Don't give Sammy that, and then Kevin comes out. We know how it ends. It's not good.
But
there was a split-second moment. Oh, no, there was that moment where it's like, deep in my heart, I was like, no, and then I just realized, it's like, no, it's Kevin cheering on his boy. Okay, we're good. Go get him, Sammy.
And then they all just, then it happens. You get Gunther and Sammy, Tim, just sort of the atmosphere, that all that build up.
Ooh, I love that match.
It was really good.
You guys talking about the build up. Yeah, sorry that I'm late to the party here, but am I the only one who realized that this entire storyline with Sammy and Gable was Rocky 3? I mean, during the match itself, Cole and what's-his-name were saying, Rocky 4, but it's Rocky 3.
They've been very much inspired by it, yeah.
I mean, that's the entire build-up to it. Just remember, you owe me a favor. And that, you know, get to the match itself, it was very well done. And kudos to Gunther.
His cockiness in this one, Cage, was just off the charts.
Oh, yeah. He played that part so perfectly. Like normally you've got him coming out when he faces, like, if you look at last year when he wrestled Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, he was out there just, like, he was all business because he knew he was in for a battle. This time, he's looking at Sammy, and, like, every once in a while, he saw that he had to beat him down. But this whole time, he's like, this is kind of a cakewalk. I'm going to enjoy myself. Hey, wife, see what I'm doing to your husband? I'm enjoying this. Big smirk on his face. But he also had that, like, serious scowl when Sammy was coming back. He's like, no. Boom. Beat him down. And then, see? No problem. He did such a good job.
He really did.
And ultimately, it's the cockiness that did him in. Because, like you talked about, he's been all business before. And even when he's had matches where he was in danger, like Drew and Sheamus, he zoned in and was just like, nope, we're going to end this now. In this, when he got to the end, it was, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to hit three splashes and I'm not even going to cover you and I'm going to talk to your wife. And ultimately that's like the cockiness, the long, you know, having the long reign is what did him in. He wasn't the ring general. He was just Gunther. And that was the problem.
Mm-hmm. But the trash talk was on point, and they built it to a point where it's like, okay, then Sammy's down, Sammy's beat, and then he's starting to fire up. And I don't know about you three, but when he got up and stopped Gunther on the top rope and hit the brainbuster, I said, holy shit.
Oh, that brainbuster was rough looking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very, very nasty. Hey, Casey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you go back and kind of look at it in slow-mo, it might be like, oh, that was like, it was so perfectly done that it even had me be like, oh, no.
Because we're not used to seeing that here in WWE, which
I was gonna say,
made it so much more impactful.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that is an El Generico move. The top rope brainbuster or top turnbuckle brainbuster is something that he's used on the indies forever, but he's never pulled it out here, and that's why when he hits something, it feels special. It was just like, where did he get that?
You know where that move, you know where that took me back to?
An orphanage in Mexico?
close, but no. Heart Legacy Wrestling, yeah, back in 2013. It was his last indie date after signing with WWE as El Generico.
Yes.
You were there, Cash, weren't you?
I was. Not in a wrestling capacity, but I was there.
No, I wasn't there in the wrestling capacity either.
But anyway, for those 50 people who saw that, this was the moment. Like, at the end of the day, I said this Thursday, it's going to get overshadowed. But Sammy winning was big.
Yeah.
Pop alone is what justified that. When that hand hit three and you heard the crowd legitimately erupt, it was just like, yep, this, if you were going to end the reign, this is what's for that moment.
Yeah. The one constant that I saw all night on X was people were complaining about the Philly crowd was dead. And I'm like, dude, they're outdoors. We've had this talk before.
One, the crowd was loud a lot of the majority of the night. And two, at 10 and 9:30 when they were in the ring, it's cold out right now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Rock, give us a weather forecast. What's it sitting at right now?
It's in the 40s, but it feels like closer into the 30s. It's windy.
It was 50 degrees Fahrenheit with and I'm using air quotes, wind chill to knock it down to 45 when they were in the ring. I made a joke about that as well. It's like it got up to 34 Fahrenheit here in Calgary today. And I was outside. People were walking around in shorts and bikini tops. And I even saw a couple of people wearing sandals. And we still got snow on the ground here in Calgary.
That's great.
It's about the same temperature. But like I was explaining to my kid, because he asked, like, they mentioned the temperature on the show. And my kid's like, that's not that cold. I'm like, oh, it's in Fahrenheit. So I did the comparison. And the temperature in Philly right now is pretty comparable here. But like I told him, like, for us, this is seasonal. For them, it's not.
And to add to it, being in that stadium before, it's an open-air stadium. So when that wind picks up, there is a chill in that air.
Yeah. You get a bit of a whirlwind going through the stadium in Philly.
Yeah, so that's what adds to it.
I've heard a few players talk about it. So
yeah, so it's not the temperature per se, but it's everything that adds up. There was the one match. I think it was the girls' match, the six women tag. Jessica Carr. You looked at her. She was freezing.
She was not happy.
She was standing, like, you know, she has her arms usually to the side, but they were squished in more. You could tell she was freezing in that ring. But yeah.
Which, by the way, kudos to the women for their, you know, like, for their gear and performing in that weather.
Which we'll absolutely get to in 1 second. But Sami Zayn, new Intercontinental Champion, just to wrap that up. But yeah.
GG, Sami.
GG's to Sami Zayn. We'll see what happens on Monday and what goes down. But that was the big moment for him. But you mentioned the girls, and that was moment two. It was Damage Control. It was Bianca, Jade, and Naomi.
Welcome to WWE, Jade.
They presented Jade like the star that they want her to be.
Oh, she came out like Storm from the X-Men because that's the role she's wanted for a long time. And holy shit, did she look like a mutant. And I don't mean in like a bad way. I mean, like, she's presented in the way of she is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is one word that went through my brain when I saw her in the middle of that ring doing a pose after a move, and I'm like, she's a bloody Amazon.
Yeah, and they built to her having her moments, which was the good thing about this match. You let the other girls get their stuff in. You let the other girls at the, you know, have their moments in the beginning. And then when Jade came in, shit got real.
Yeah, it was a nice touch when they, like, tagged her in. Everybody in Damage Control just, like, stopped.
What?
Dakota Kai deserves all the props in the world. She sold amazing for yes. Jade. Like, between just taking the moves, but also the reaction to it all. She sold it and made her look like the star that they want.
Hell, you want to know the difference with Jade in this and the other company? She pulled out a Michinoku driver and landed it beautifully. In the other, you know, other places she'd hit like a power move and she'd, you know, like that pump kick that she threw out there. In this, it was like, no, she's going to land a good move. What?
But yes, this match did do a little bit to hype me up for Io Sky versus Bayley tomorrow.
Yeah, it did a lot for it.
Yeah.
And the girls are talking about being really cold and then the adrenaline kicking in and kind of warmed them up, especially when they were up in the air for the entrance, which was like... visually, the three of them coming down, that was really a cool visual.
Yeah, it was.
And, like, you could tell they're talking about now, the excitement for them just to do that and everything, be a part of it. Like, they all look like stars coming to ring. And then you had Asuka and Kairi and Dakota, who, again, sold for the match. And the match went, I think, as kind of expected based on what you had on both sides of the ring. You had, like, they called them the Avengers. Like, it's what they look like.
Yeah. They were the legit superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
They were presented as such. They came with a presence, and they looked and acted the part, which was good to see. Because even though the match wasn't that long, it did exactly what it was supposed to in that moment. You got Bianca and Naomi a good Mania spot. You got Jade for her coming out party, and you know, Damage Control worked the match for a bit, and then took the moves when they needed it.
Indeed. Do you agree, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. They did absolutely nothing to hurt Jade with her first real big deal match. Bianca and Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Tim's having mic issues.
Okay, is that any better?
That's a little. It's you're still a little over modulated, but we can make it work for now.
We'll work for now.
Okay, I might be. I don't know. Am I too close to the mic? Is that better?
That's good.
That's fine for right now. Yeah, but if you wanted to finish your point,
yeah, what I was saying was Naomi and Bianca. They carried the water in that match for that team, but they made it seem, you know, not seem like it. It didn't look like they were carrying the water. Like, you have to know what to look for to be able to make that statement.
Yeah, and it was all seamless. Like, you wouldn't have noticed it. And it built to the big moment of Jade looking like a star, and they came out, that they showed up and showed out, which was really cool. Some combination of that team will probably get a tag title shot at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Not sure which combination, but we'll see what happens. Speaking of tag teams, it was Santos Escobar and Andrade. Santos Escobar and Dominic taking on Andrade and Rey Mysterio. Andrade filled in for Dragon Lee, even though Carlito wanted the spot. But Carlito didn't get the spot.
He tried.
He tried
to get the spot.
He had a sad later.
He was a little late to the party on Friday to get the spot. But
yeah. But Andrade got his Mania moment.
That crossbody, the double crossbody thing they did to the outside. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. I went back and I rewound that and watched it twice.
Yeah, that was really good. Like, it took good timing just to hit it. And it's like, Andrade checked his face too, because I think he smashed it on the mat on the outside. It's like, I think he checked his nose. He checked his nose and was like, all right, it's all in one piece. We're good. We're still good. We can continue on.
Nope, not bleeding yet. We're good.
We're good. But this was a solid, solid tag match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you've got good workers in there. Ray's been wrestling forever. Andrade's wrestling with purpose now, which is interesting to see. He's in the company, he's with his wife, and you can tell there's just like renewed effort of, okay, I'm getting a chance here. I want to perform well.
Well, he kind of pulled like a Drew McIntyre, just with less time in between.
Yeah, it's you went out, you kind of, you know, sowed some oats in other places, and then it was just like, oh, time to come home. Okay.
And they made it work. But the big story coming out of it, and this is where, you know, Twitter does not know people. It's the Kelsey brothers.
Luchadors.
Wait. It was only one Kelsey bro. Oh, I see. I understand.
I haven't
been on the social media, so.
Like, when it was happening, I saw, like, six or seven tweets in a row. I was like, oh, it's the Kelsey brothers. Ooh. Not quite. Not quite. It's one.
The funny thing is, like, you could tell from the beard on the one who exactly it was. The other guy, you're like, okay, we'll see where this goes. But the first beard, you're like, that's Jason Kelsey. We know it's Jason Kelsey. There's only one person with that body shape and that beard.
The moment I saw both of them.
When they came out, I'm like, who the hell are these guys?
Mm-hmm. I had no idea who it was, but I also don't follow football. And then when the masks came off and I said, oh, Jason Kelsey, my kid was like, did you say Travis Kelsey? I'm like, no, the other one.
Yeah, it's his brother. It's his brother. But no, I knew immediately it was Lane and Jason out there. Jason. And Jason, I think, was in the ring for 3 minutes and his shirt was already off. So.
Oh, my favorite part about that was Lane takes the shirt off, because it's just like, you know, okay, I'm going to just, you know, show. Jason, of course, goes full Hogan and tearing it open.
So.
And, you know, his wife is sitting there going, oh, God, not again.
Yeah, so Rey Andrade got the win, but that's not the big story. But the news with that match is, for the past week, Jason and Lane went to the Monster Factory. To prepare for that spot. They prepared. They trained. They did some wrestling training to prepare for that. So they didn't come into it just, hey, we showed up on this day blind to just do that.
I mean, that run of Dom into the post is pretty solid.
Yeah,
they sold that like a champ.
And it was executed well.
Yeah. So they took that role seriously, which is great.
You notice that happens a lot with the celebrities now, you know.
Yeah.
We focus in on, you know, people like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul who do, you know, legitimate training and have full matches. But we've seen in the past where it's like you said, you bring in a celebrity and it's like, oh, okay, it's kind of clunky. Or, you know, when Mickey Rourke was there and he was involved with Jericho, you're just like, all right, this seems a little goofy. But in the past, you know, 5 years when they've had celebrities, it's like, nah, these celebrities are taking this shit for real. Like, they're like, okay, how do I properly do this? And it's really cool to see that they're taking it seriously.
Yeah, that Mickey Rourke analogy was kind of a bad one, because that was sort of what somewhat impromptu. And Jericho was like doing the real deal when he was shooting it down.
But yeah, so that was a fun spot. It was popped in the local crowd. Everyone got a big to-do about it. So that's pretty amazing. So sticking with the theme of tag team matches, the six-pack ladder match.
Damn.
Oh, God, the car crash. In a good way.
We spent a good amount of time last Sunday night speculating about, well, what if they split the tags and who's going to do this and that and the other thing.
Yep, and then Monday,
they sealed the deal.
Yeah, Monday it was like, yep, you got to pull down both sets. It's like, well,
woohoo, yep. I called it! I got the people wrong, but I called it!
I'll say this, it was very anticlimactic, though. It ruined it a little bit, the first pull down. It just seemed weird, and then the match continued.
Yeah,
that's just me.
The group pulled the first belts down, and then it's like, wait, do we go for the second, or are we just happy with these? What do we do? And then...
Yeah, I think we booked it better.
I think if you would have had Truth grab, like, the Raw belts, and then, like, just head up the ramp, that would have sold it a bit more, because it's like the other teams would have been just looking kind of at the SmackDown belts. Truth would be like halfway up the ramp, and you have the Miz kind of in between, like, what the hell? Like, what are you doing? We can get both.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they did utilize the split belts thing nicely, too, like with Awesome Truth and DIY, where they just kind of were like, Truth's like, whoa, 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 guys, there's two sets of belts.
Yeah. You go for that, we go for this.
Go.
Let's go!
That made perfect sense. One, let's give props to DIY trying to do a DX entrance.
They turned into the skin, and it's amazing.
I just would have had them come out to the DX music to sell it a little bit more, but that's just me. But they
that
did the
a little much.
Yeah, but it would have. I think it would have popped a little bit more because I think people were like, "What? Because
what's coming on here?"
Because coming out, if you're in the crowd, you don't know what they're doing. When you're watching on TV, they have the things flashing around like it was the DX entrance. So it would have sold a little bit more. Two, Consequences Creed returned to professional wrestling. and made it back to WrestleMania. So that was fun to see.
New Catch Republic with the stereo moonsaults that just were pretty off that gigantic ladder. I just like Pete gets up there, Tyler looks at him, and it's just like, all right, let's do this. Whee!
There's one scary moment in this match. It was towards the end. It was Damian and Miz on the ladder. And he's going for the choke. Like, he's setting up for trying to set up for the choke slam. And if you watch... Yeah. The ref slid in and hit him in the leg, trying to like get his attention, because the ladder was breaking. That leg on that ladder was breaking, which is why they quickly got it out of there and replaced it. But that could have been really scary if it buckled beforehand.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to do the chokeslam of it. It's like, no, you need something stable. You need to land that move.
Yeah, which is why they quickly kind of did the chokeslam, but kind of just tossed him off and he stumbled around instead of trying to land it, because I don't think it would have held up, but
it would not have gone well. We all know.
Biggest spot that popped the crowd: the hot tag.
Yes, so good.
God damn it, R-Truth! You have no right to be that funny.
Yes, he does.
Well, yes, I mean, he's done it for a while, but I mean, the just overall timing that he pulls off with these is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does it so well, and like, I also like that he tried to go for the tag rope, and he saw it was just tied up, and was like, okay.
Yeah, R-Truth is the Robin Williams of comedy wrestling, he really is.
God. And I mean, we saw the hot tag, I believe, in the Rumble as well, but just... For that and for this match, he pulls it off so well where you're just like, okay, no, I believe this. Like, let's run with it.
It was very much believable. But coming out, we have two sets of tag team champions. One is the Raw tag team champions in Awesome Truth. SmackDown tag team champions are now A-Town Down Under. Please, WWE, I think, come Monday, we're renaming these belts.
Maybe we'll get new ones, too.
I think we're going to finally get the new belts. And I would probably call them the WWE Tag Team titles and the World Tag Team titles.
Yeah.
To kind of match everything that's going on. That way, when you come up in a draft here in the next month or so, according to Triple H, if you need to switch belts around, they're not just red and blue Raw and SmackDown belts.
Well, if you rename them, you don't have to switch them around.
But I'm saying if they
got to change the leather.
Yeah, I'm saying if you want to change it to switch the team, because who knows getting drafted where, it wouldn't be convoluted like it was in the past, is more the point. I'll say the biggest disappointment of the show was Jimmy and Jay. Just going to say it.
Super Kick Fest?
I kind of thought that they would beat each other up more harder. I was, and I mean, maybe it's because we hyped ourselves up for this because of what we thought was going to happen, but I expected them to kind of like really, really go. And I mean, it wasn't terrible, and the finish was okay, but it wasn't the banger that I expected it to be.
It didn't live up to our expectations of it.
It was, I guess. So I said on Thursday, it was either going to be really, really good or really, really bad, and there was no really middle ground. It leveled out to the bad side rather than the good side, because it was missing something. Like, the idea, the premise of it, Jimmy and Jay finally meeting, it's good, but it missed that hook, like that one less emotional hook to get you into the match. They did a promo package. If they showed that on TV, would have really sold it more, but they only showed it on the countdown to WrestleMania, which, by the way, side note, was fantastic.
Promo package was, and I'm not trying to say this to crap on it, on anything, but I thought the promo package was the best part of that match.
It was. I'm talking about the entire countdown show was fantastic. It was a different presentation. You had features. Brent will know this. Tom Rinaldi was on there as a correspondent doing an interview segment.
Tom Rinaldi.
Like a full feature presentation about Kansas City and the shooting and everything and the kid with the belt and bringing him to the thing. Like they had a whole feature, the 15-minute feature with Tom Rinaldi. And
they made it like a SportsCenter Sunday or an actual like
it was College Game Day
Saturday Game Day spread. Okay, cool. That is awesome.
Like they had a sit down interview with Hunter. They put the music with it. They had an interview with Rollins and Cody. Like the entire presentation of it was different. They did features of different areas. You had the correspondents everywhere. It's like it was a different feel.
Well, and this is, I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of media has covered WrestleMania before. Like we've seen coverage of it, but it was to me really amazing of the fact of since they're doing this kind of presentation. And then if you're looking at Twitter, ESPN is reporting the results of WrestleMania like it's the regular sporting events. Like, yeah. You know, the Final Four and everything. They're sitting there going, Sami Zayn has dethroned the 660-day Intercontinental Champion Gunther. And they're turning it into the level of sports story where it's like, yeah, we would cover this. And it shows just the integration of not just wrestling and sport, but like overall media presentation of sport and how it's covered. And it's really cool to see that all kind of come together.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the match. It just, like, there's two ways to do brother versus brother. Bret Owen or Hardys. They lean more Hardys than they would have been Bret and Owen, because that's the standard. Bret and Owen is the standard, especially at WrestleMania, where it's true legitimate brothers. Not Undertaker and Kane, true legitimate brothers. And
yeah,
it would have been, you wanted to see more. And I think they got their moment, they told their story, and the blocking, the stopping of the kick, the dramatics was there towards the end, but it just...
The way this has all been built up, the way that, you know, like, Jay had been beaten down for so long, and Jimmy had come along into the bloodline, and then eventually, you know, they leave, but it's really Jay who wanted out, and Jimmy goes back into the bloodline. This felt like it should have been a legit blood feud. Like, this should have been, like, years of pent-up stuff, you know, bringing in stuff from, like, when he stole your thing when, you know, at age 8 and you're remembering this. It should have all kind of come together for the match, and instead, for lack of a better term, it was a match.
And that's fine, but it just wanted more on that platform. Yeah. And especially, but again, to me going in, it missed that final hook. So it was like, I'm not completely disappointed, but it was...
But you're not invested the way you should.
I should have been more invested. That's for sure.
It was watchable, but that's the nicest thing I can say about it.
But let's talk about it. Mommy versus the Man, Women's World Championship. They kicked this show off with a bang.
First off, kudos to Becky.
102 degree fever, strep throat, and she comes out and puts on a performance like that.
In probably less than ideal overall weather conditions for that kind of personal condition.
On top of it, yeah.
Yeah. Good on the Man. No one's going to say that she's ever slacking in that respect.
The book entrance was awesome. The fact that she had like quotes down her entire gear and everything. Mm. That was a great like presentation to set one, sell the book, and two, it sold it. Like she came through the book in the entrance. It was top tier.
And then Rhea came.
Then Rhea, the fucking rock star that she is. And she
just... Listen, White. Just, yeah. Shit.
It was a fantastic entrance. She looked like the rock, like a rock star coming out. And then they had a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you open a big show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the two women going to the locker room and saying, all right, there's the bar, have a good night. And everyone just going, shit.
Yeah, top that, bitches.
Right, and it's like, oh, okay. And I mean, when that does happen, it elevates your show because, you know, like I said, you set that bar and everyone goes, all right, now we know what we have to work up to. And it just brings everything else that's going on up a notch.
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword because we've had big-time events with the hottest opening match you could think of, and the rest of the show was a snooze fest.
Yeah, but this is WrestleMania, so, like, you know...
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard not to deliver.
Yeah, you know how much work that those guys, like, try and put into putting together these matches and trying to make them the best that they can be, so when you have them come out and set the pace like that, if it was, like you say, if it was a regular PLE, you go, okay, how's this going to measure up against the rest of the show? Whereas when I see something like that for Mania, I'm like, all right, this is like, it can only get like, things are going to either be equal, better, but like, great way to start. It really sucks you in and lets you know, like, they're ready to go.
And they just beat the hell out of each other, too.
He's kind of like Paul Rudd in the new Ghostbusters movie, calling out, hold on to your ass.
We talked earlier about, you know, Jade looking like a superstar. This is Rhea looking like a beast.
Yeah.
And dominating that women's division, and especially the fact that she's doing it against Becky, someone, you know, who has coined the moniker The Man for her, you know, I mean, applied it from Rick, but has taken ownership of The Man as an identity, and yet Rhea was coming out and just asserting her will, and you're just going, yeah, oh, okay, Rhea's just next level.
But Rhea's still on top.
It'll be interesting to see. Oh, yeah.
Like, Becky threw her best shot. Rhea had the counter.
Well, and the nice thing is, like, with this one, they kind of went in a different direction with the finish of the Riptide versus the, like, Avalanche one that she's used a couple times to take out some of her bigger opponents.
Yeah.
So it's nice that they were able to kind of figure out a way to, like, not do that, but still make it definitive for her.
Yeah, make it special.
Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, you make it go, you make it look like brutal enough that, like, okay, I mean, Becky kicked out of one, and you know that Becky is up that caliber that, like, yeah, she's going to kick out of a regular Riptide. So what is she going to do? And then they go up to the top rope, and you go, oh, are they setting up for that Avalanche one again? That makes sense. And then they kind of give you a little bit of a swerve, which is nice, because I'm sure there were a lot of people being like, here we go again, Avalanche Riptide.
Avalanche, oh no, she just dropped her on the top rope. Never mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rhea's still on top. We'll see what happens next with Becky. I have a feeling Monday's going to be interesting. I have a feeling Monday night, Raw after Mania, we're going to see something.
I think we're going to see a lot of things.
We've only had half of Monday night Raw pre-planned here. We still got tomorrow night to go.
Oh, no, I was speculating. While things didn't end here, I could see, you know, a title change or two come on Monday. That's just the thought in my head. But let's talk about the main event. Cody Rhodes, Seth freaking Rollins versus Damn. Roman Reigns and The Rock. The final boss.
The opening video for this match. Holy shit. We talk about WWE video production. And I mean, this was... what, like a 5-minute video package chronicling what all happened? But it's like everyone got their focus, everyone got their moment, and it was, you know, by the end of it, you're sitting there like a movie, like, okay, like, what's coming next? I want to see this. It was the perfect setup for it all.
Yeah, but everyone came out looking like stars. Mm-hmm. Cody looked like a star. Seth just sort of sauntered to the ring.
Whatever the hell that was on his shoulder.
According to someone was a hat.
I commented to my kid when I saw it. I'm like, it kind of looks like he's got a growth on his arm.
But The Rock looked like the final fucking boss coming down to that ring.
God, what, the Brahma bull skull up at the top of the ramp in fire? Yeah. The championship. I don't know if those were bell bottoms he was wearing to the ring initially, but that was a fashion choice. But... yeah, no, he came out, and even though he hasn't had a match for 10 years, he still looked ever the presence that he was even in the heyday.
There were some Twitter comments like, this match, it's just what's wrong? This match is too slow. This match is... The match was paced perfectly. Mm-hmm.
They had to have perfect pacing because The Rock hasn't been in the ring actually wrestling in over a decade.
Yeah, but he did a lot.
The pacing was perfect on, like, several different levels. First off, it kept him from getting blown up. It let them all tell the story, their story.
And they you know, the three of them were like, we got to work tomorrow, so we're going to keep this safe. But
except for Seth.
Yeah, but they all kind of, they beyond being safe, they did some spots. Like, They brawled through the crowd. They taunted. The Rock took an amazing Cody Cutter.
Yeah.
God. Well, and they did something really good with this when they went to the crowd but split off when they ran the dual cam. Because normally, like, I would have said even 3 months ago, they wouldn't have dual cammed it. You would have had just jumping shots back and forth. And when that happens, you get kind of lost with what's going on. Because it's like, oh, we're going to show a little bit here, but now we're going to come over here. And it's like, no, just show them beating the hell out of each other on both sides. And so you can just follow back and forth with what's going on.
Yeah, I got the feeling that I caught Cody looking at the overhead screen, waiting for his cue for his turn at one spot.
You probably did.
I think I did. But yeah, it wasn't presented chaotically. You're right, Brent.
But they built to big moments in this match. Like they were going along, and then.
Now, the one thing that I have to say about The Rock is when he was a full-time WWE star, he had a reputation of overselling bumps. And I'm not talking about one or two here or there. It was like every match, every other bump, he oversold it. And there was nothing wrong with that. It was entertaining. Tonight, the only oversell he performed was getting speared by his own teammate.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Like, that sell. That was great.
It showed how painful the move can be, and you saw the best part was the look on Roman's face for that moment of like, oh,
what
shit.
What have I done?
Yeah, what just happened?
It was that moment went from a match to a really good main event match.
You know how you... You're watching a major presentation and everything's leading to the main event. And you have usually one of two major experiences. You got your arms folded, watching it, just waiting for it to end because you know it's going to end. And yeah, okay, it's watchable, but. And then you've got the type of match where it forces you to not sit still in that chair. And you wind up actually saying something to the TV. This was that one.
You then had, it went from there, and they're fighting on the outside. And then The Rock is going to do what The Rock does because he found the Spanish announce table. So he's going to put someone through it. But it didn't happen. He got put through the table himself.
Yeah, but before that.
Whoops.
Don't count to 10. I'll fucking fire you. You're fucking fired. You count to 10.
Oh, yeah. He did that. That was a lot. He was like, they told the story of the ref can't, bloodline rules, basically, without it being bloodline rules.
Basically teasing some of what might happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that watching the match tonight, and they're all hyping up, oh, if they lose, bloodline rules. And, you know, that means tomorrow night's main event's no rules. And I'm thinking, wouldn't that cut both ways?
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out tomorrow.
But going back to the table spot, so it's like the immediate rock bottom, it's like Seth stopped him from going through, so Cody could hit the rock bottom, and immediately Seth got speared through the barricade, and that was the key. He got taken out at that point, leaving it Cody alone against Roman and The Rock. Rock made multiple attempts to stop it, and then like there was the moment at the very end, like, one, Cody, he's got to learn. Don't stagger back for the third one. It's going to cost you.
That cost him last Mania, and it still happened this time. It's just not... Learn from your mistakes, son.
The sound, the belt made, though. Right across that back.
Clap.
Oh, and since we're getting into loud clapping sounds that could be heard across the country, Bianca's hair on Asuka was wow.
Yeah. Split her in half?
Yeah, like I think that was probably the loudest hair whip she's done to date.
I was about to compare the hair whip to the weight belt whip.
Oh, they were both brutal.
And I remember from, what was it? Was it 38 when it was Bianca Sasha and she hit that one hair whip and you're like, oh, shit.
That was a crack. That was a very, very loud snap, that one.
Yeah, but the belt to the back, the spear, and everything like that. And people will go like,
and then asking for the tag.
And asking for the tag, and then he drops him with the rock bottom, a people's elbow, One, two, three. Rock pinned Cody. It's a key for the future.
Mm-hmm.
After he dropped him, before he makes his finishing moves, he looks right at Cody's mom. This is for you, Mama Rhodes.
Oh, well,
this boy. Is the knife throat.
Yeah. Yep.
Then the finger up in the air. Trash talk Mama Rhodes, who, bravo to her for clapping back multiple times at Dwayne, saying hell bullshit, yeah, and everything like that. Perfect. But yeah, WrestleMania day one ends with the Bloodline standing tall, leading to tomorrow night. Bloodline rules Cody and Roman for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Probably be the last night for that, because if Cody finishes the story, he's dropping the Universal part of it all. So,
Also, they call it Universal Heavyweight. So technically, it's not UWU. As much as I enjoy the UWU.
But yeah,
they call it like five different things. To be honest,
it might just be the WWE Championship.
It's got like 10 names.
Yeah, but he wants to rename it the WWE Championship for, I think, story purposes. This was a fantastic night one.
We've talked in the past of, like, if WrestleMania was one night and you had to try and squeeze all the matches in, a lot of what happened, I think, tonight would have gotten lost or kind of cut in order to make it happen. By splitting it into two nights and being able to focus, okay, we've got seven matches we're doing tonight, and just being able to put all of your effort into, like, focus in on these seven right now, it really makes it for an enjoyable experience overall.
Yeah.
Because you give people that chance to, like in the Mysterios and, or Rey and Andrade versus Dominic and Santos, you would have had some spots, and then it would have just been, you know, the Jason Kelsey thing. You really wouldn't remember a lot of it. But it's like tonight they were able to shine and give you that moment. And it's really nice to be able to kind of take what's happening, digest it, enjoy it, and then you can look to tomorrow and it's like, oh, don't forget what happened last night. No, we won't. And then this is what's on the slate today. Okay, I'm ready for it.
I think that does it. Any final closing thoughts on the show, Keish?
With how good tonight was, I'm pretty amped up for what tomorrow night's going to bring us. Because usually they don't step down. They usually step up. So I'm very optimistic about what tomorrow's going to bring with how good tonight's show was.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what were your final thoughts?
Overall, a really enjoyable night one. Like Casey said, you're kind of like, you're looking forward to night two after this. And I think with the way that the main event played out today, you know shenanigans are going to hit in main event of night two. But it's still just a matter of like, okay, where are they going with this? How is it going to play out? You know? And ultimately, like, does Cody finish the story or does he take another L again? But there's so many little pieces going into tomorrow night and the main event that it's like, it can go any number of ways and be a, like, legitimate, satisfying kind of thing. And I'm looking forward to that and how it all plays out. Just having the different opportunities available.
Mm-hmm. What would your clothing thoughts be, Tim? Really? Okay, cool.
No, not again.
There you go. We got you.
Okay. I'm just going to echo Casey here. And tonight's show basically created a shut up and take my money moment for tomorrow.
That's a good hook. Good hook for tomorrow. But yeah, fantastic night one. We'll see what night two brings, which means tomorrow night, once the show ends, like 11-ish, we'll be live for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio to review the entire thing from night two. Should be fun. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Talk about the Raw after Mania. And then next Saturday, we'll be back for CB Radio at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Probably throw game night in there as well. GM battles on Friday, most likely. Maybe a rack, but we'll see how things unfold. Just stay tuned to the social media, which is at Wild Talk Radio, and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork for all the info there. Brent's on social.
Yep, you can find me on the social media, Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens, at some kind of amalgamation of those.
Keish is on Twitter.
I am. You can find me on @X/Twitter and Instagram @KyleDriver. It's usually just reposting of cool stuff that's happening in and around the Alberta wrestling scene, and not a whole lot about myself, because I don't know, I forget to do things for myself. That's about it.
There you go. Tim?
Yeah, follow me on X, Twitter, Twixer, whatever you want to call it, @FlamesForums for, you know, anything and everything. And I post like literally daily, several times a day, because if something strikes me, I'll tweet about it.
Indeed. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Prime Games Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can use code Rock Stock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store with #EpicPartner. We'll see you tomorrow night for WrestleMania Day 2 review on WTR Sunday night. But this has been a special CB Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you when we see you all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just hold me close, make me believe there's more to live.